Justin Clark Show on Florida Man Radio.
Do you swear to tell the truth? The whole truth? To nothing but the truth? You want answers? You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And welcome to Tuesday Morning. I am your host, Justin Clark, protecting you from the hypocrisy throughout America. Today on the program, Democrats very nervous right now as Joe Biden announces to Al Sharpton that he will be seeking re-election in 2024. They're not going to tell you, but they're very unhappy to hear this. Very unhappy. Biden also said he was raised in a Puerto Rican community while speaking in Puerto Rico. You know, those Puerto Rican communities in Delaware. Big time. The economy is collapsing. I wish I had better news for you, but I come to you today with very bad economic news. It's getting worse and going to continue to worsen for, I think, another year. I'll tell you why, and much more to get to. Quick housekeeping. Before we begin, I will take your calls. I will take your text messages. Here is the phone number, 321-339-1055. Download the Florida Man radio app and listen to us right there around the world. But a great show lined up for you this morning on the live actual radio. But first, the team black t-shirt.
Back to black, baby.
If anyone's surprised, Stedman is here. Good afternoon. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, everybody.
Time for the opening statement. This should be interesting.
It came out yesterday. Now, this happened like a month ago. But it came out yesterday that President Biden told Reverend Al Sharpton that he is planning to seek a second term in 2024. Now, the Democrats are not going to say anything negative about this, of course. They're going to say, oh, great. He's done a fantastic job. But you know that every Democrat in the United States of America did not want to hear that. And who makes this announcement to Al Sharpton anyway? Why are you making the announcement to Sharpton? Now everyone has reached out to Sharpton and his group there, whatever it's called, the National Action Network. And they've reached out as well to the White House. And no one is confirming this, of course. But I think if he's telling people this in private, he does plan on running in 2024. Which I find shocking. I don't think he should do that, obviously. I think it's bad for Democrats. I mean, no one's going to vote for this guy. Does he have any chance of actually winning re-election with everything that has happened? Not just economically, but with his complete inability to communicate. And what really put me over the edge the other day is obviously the deal with Where's Jackie? And if that does not concern people in this country, I don't know that they're even capable of experiencing concern. It's the single greatest gaffe in the history of American politics, if you want to ask me. And it really goes to show where he is at mentally, cognitively. The where's Jackie commentary from the other day. But, you know, Biden did a 60 Minutes interview back in, late last month, I believe,
yes.
When they asked him directly on 60 Minutes if he was going to run again, and he still, and this was actually, this interview with 60 Minutes was after he had already told Sharpton that he was definitely running. And here's what he said to 60 Minutes late last month.
Committed to running again, or are there certain conditions that have to be right?
Look. If I were to say to you, I'm running again, all of a sudden a whole range of things come into play that I have requirements I have to change and move and do.
In terms of election laws.
In terms of election laws. And it's much too early to make that kind of decision. I'm a great respecter of fate. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing my job. I'm going to do that job. And within the time frame that makes sense after this next election cycle here, going into next year, make a judgment of what to do.
You say that it's much too early to make that decision. I take it the decision has not been made in your own head.
Look, my intention, as I said to begin with, is that I would run again. But it's just an intention. But is it a firm decision that I run again? That remains to be seen.
Well, he went on to tell Sharpton, and I quote, "I'm going to do it again. I'm going." So apparently, at least in his mind, he is running for re-election. Now, it is very telling to me that a sitting president, a sitting first-term president of the United States, who is not fully committed already, who won't come out and say, yes, of course I'm running again. I'm the president, and I have another 4 years ahead of me. The fact that he's even having to answer those questions and act like I'm not sure is pretty telling. I mean, when is the last time we had a sitting president who was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to run again? Of course you're going to run again. Of course. It's because of how horrible things are and because of his issues cognitively. And it's just downright scary. And then he goes to Puerto Rico yesterday and starts telling everyone in Puerto Rico that he's basically Puerto Rican. This happened. So he goes to Puerto Rico yesterday to, you know, show his support for the island because of Hurricane Fiona. And he said he was raised in a very big, diverse Puerto Rican community there in Delaware. Are there really Puerto Rican? I mean, I don't. When I think Delaware, I think LLCs.
Right.
Maybe some beaches. But I don't normally think large Puerto Rican population in Delaware. Do you?
It doesn't immediately come to mind, no.
Do you know they're only 3.
This actually played under Biden's acceptance speech for president.
Oh, yes. 3.2 million people in Puerto Rico. I thought there were more than that. It's a pretty big island. If you look on a map, Puerto Rico is a very large island.
It is.
I thought there were more than 3.2 million people. In the state of Florida alone, we have, what, 22 or 27 million? They only have 3 million there.
I think in Kissimmee, we have about 27 million.
Oh, he said, we have a very, very large Puerto Rican population in Delaware. I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community. Really? Really? So now he was raised in the Puerto Rican community. Pretty convenient that you were raised in the Puerto Rican community when you're making a speech in Puerto Rico. Do you think anyone's really going to buy that, Mr. President?
Like, I mean, it's like Hillary Clinton changing her accent wherever she would speak when she was running.
Yes.
It's very convenient. It's like reaching out, you're touching the people.
It's like Brian Kelly.
He goes
from Notre Dame to LSU, and all of a sudden he has a Cajun accent. Yeah. Okay, coach.
All of a sudden he sounds like Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, coach. Whatever, coach. Yeah. He goes from Notre Dame, and then he gets $10 million a year from LSU, and now he sounds like Coach O. Whatever. 321-339-1055. Now, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Where's Jackie gaffe, but this is one of the all-time gaffes in the history of America, I think.
Pretty frightening.
This is absolutely scary. Now, you know that last Wednesday, he was making a speech for, like, hunger or something. I don't know. I don't even remember what it was. And he was there making a speech, which should have been canceled anyway because we had a massive hurricane rolling through, I don't know, the United States of America. But he went ahead with his speech on Wednesday and continued to ask, where's Jackie? Where's Jackie? Who, of course, was not living anymore because she had the automobile accident. Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walorski. And he was even going to meet with her family after the speech to support, you know, his support for the family of Jackie. Yet when he was making the speech, he's asking for Jackie, who he clearly knows has passed away. And reporters are continuing to ask the press secretary about this, and they refuse to even explain away what really happened. They just keep saying, I mean, what they should say is, look, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Sorry about that. But the press secretary continues to say, oh, well, Jackie was on the top of his mind. Okay, but yeah. And if Jackie was on the top of his mind, he should say, oh, this is just not the same here without Jackie, not
right.
Where's Jackie? He kept saying, where's Jackie? Here, let me just play it one more time for you. And if this does not scare you, nothing will ever scare you. This is the most scary thing I've ever seen a president say in my entire life.
If you know so much about this as well, and you're committed. And I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative
Jackie, are you here? Mm. Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
Where's Jackie? Jackie, are you here?
She's in another dimension, dude.
And then when you ask Corinne Jean-Pierre about it, she says, well, Jackie was just on the top of his mind. Here's what the press secretary had to say. Imagine having that gig. Can you think of a word? I would rather work the night shift on Interstate 4 digging ditches than having to be the press secretary for President Biden. Woo, what a gig that is. What a gig. I would rather probably be a scuba diver in this lake behind me that's still overfilling.
Oof.
Okay, never mind. You're right. No, I'd rather be in the White House. But my gosh, the amount of BS you have to spin being the press secretary for Joe Biden. Wow.
Today, the president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. It seemed to indicate she might be in the room.
That's a valid question. The president of the United States was making a speech and post-speech was going to meet with the family of the fallen congresswoman. Yet, during the said speech, he is asking, where's Jackie? And this is the best they can come up with. Here you go.
The president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event.
Very important event. We have a almost Category 5 hurricane absolutely blasting the Florida Peninsula. And this very important event about hunger or whatever that could have been postponed for a week, it was very important.
Food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday.
Hold on. I want to make sure I understood this. So she's saying he was trying to honor her incredible work? Is that what she said?
That's what she
said. Acknowledging her incredible work.
Oh, okay.
He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them.
I think here's how I would have spun it, I think. And so their spin is that she was on top of mind. And that's why he was asking, where's Jackie? I think I would have said, look, you know, the president is deeply religious, believes in God, and really believes that the Jackie's presence was there in the room. And he felt like that would be the best way to honor her family by saying, Jackie, I know you're here. You're watching over us. I would have done something like that because her answer, her spin makes no sense whatsoever. I would have pulled the religious card and said he believes in God and believes that Jackie is there in the room with them as an angel watching over everybody. That's how I would have played it. And I think that would have gone way better than whatever she said, that Jackie was on top of mind. Here's what you say when someone has passed away and they're just on top of mind. This isn't me being confused. This is when someone is clearly deceased and you're about to meet with her family. Here's how you ask around for them. Here's what you do. Sorry.
Committed. And I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Hmm. Where's Jackie?
Nope.
I didn't think she was.
Mr. President, we discussed that before. Remember, she passed away in an auto accident and tragically. And you're going to meet with her family here in about 7 to 8 minutes. And he's asking around, where's Jackie? And the best they can come up with is that Jackie's on top of mind. Jackie's on the top of his mind. No, you need to say he's deeply religious and thought he felt Jackie's presence. Now the family would have liked that. It would have made a little bit more sense. Well, I was just thinking Jackie's here with us. I could feel her. That's what you should have said. Not this Jackie is on top of his mind.
Was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president.
They think we're so stupid. They really think that we're done. They think that we're LCD. They think we're lowest common denominator. That's what they think of us. And there might be people out there that actually would listen to this lady say this stuff and be like, yeah, you know what? She's right. Jackie was just on the top of president's mind. That's why he was saying, Jackie, where are you? No. My man was confused.
There's Jackie.
And forgot that, well, she's no longer with us. And look, God rest her soul. I'm not trying to make light of her passing in any way, shape, or form. I'm really not. It's super sad. I hope this has not come across this way. What I'm trying to help you understand is that this man's cognitive decline is very scary. And now he's telling Sharpton that he's going to run again, which, hey, maybe that's good for those of us on the right. Maybe it's good for him to run again because, look, I mean, can anyone really take him seriously? At the end of the day, hardcore Dems are obviously going to vote for him. We get that. But it's always the people in the middle that are going to decide an election. Are these people in the middle that just see him literally looking for a dead woman who he's about to meet with the family? Are they really going to think that he is good for another 4 years? I hope not.
I mean, as an independent voter, I wouldn't vote for him.
I sure hope not.
No, I can't.
It's scary. He's there looking for a lady who's died. He knows she died because he's about to meet with her family.
Is she back there by the coffee and the donuts? No, that's not Jackie. Jackie!
And then, let me hit some text messages here because I'm about to get a little bit negative economically with you. It's not going to be super negative, but I feel like I really have to tell you what's really going on. I have to tell you what's happening. All right? And I'm not trying to be negative. Well, I mean, it's Taco Tuesday on Taco Day or something like that, right? We don't do national whatever days.
Come on, man.
I'm not trying to bum anyone out on Taco Tuesday, which is National Taco Day, actually. Just happens to fall on a Tuesday. But let me hit a couple messages here, and then we'll get to it. 386 is here. What up, 386? Who is this, by the way? Is your show only 2 days a week now? Okay. 386, thank you for asking. Allow me to address that. So for the past month, maybe even 2 months, when I first started this issue, I had to go sort of, I had to go fix some things at the law firm, okay? And I needed some time to really focus on the law firm, which at the end of the day is sort of the mothership for me. You have to understand that. I've been doing this show every day for 3 years. I've hardly taken any time off. I would imagine that over the last 3 years, up until the last month, I've probably taken less time off than anybody else around here. I mean, I've been here every single day with the occasional Friday off here and there. I think the Thanksgiving I would normally take off. Other than that, I've been here. The last couple of months, I really had to go deal with some other business stuff. Nothing bad. I mean, nothing like collapsing or anything, but you have to understand I have other obligations too. So I took two full weeks off. I did. And then when I came back, I said, look, for a few weeks, I can do 2 days a week. All right. And that's kind of where we have been. But I'm telling you, everything's fine and everything will be back to normal in the next couple of weeks for real. Just I've had a lot of very, very big stuff going on. Not even bad stuff, just big stuff that I had to deal with that have prevented me from being able to be here every single morning. Everyone thinks doing talk radio is so easy. Oh, you just sit down and blah, 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 and there you go. 2 hours is done. It's really not that easy.
Mm-mm.
You know, I need to get here about 8:30 East Coast time, and I get out of here about 11:50 East Coast time.
It's easy if you don't want to be good at it.
Yeah, and so, you have to do a little bit of prep, and it actually takes some energy out of you, too, sitting here for 2 hours and trying to be entertaining might not be as easy for me as others. But it takes some energy out of you as well. I love spending my mornings with you. I do. Things will be back to normal very, very soon. I appreciate you sticking with us. I do. And we're going to look back on this two-month period soon and be like, oh, remember when you took so many days off? And I'm like, yeah, that was weird. All right, so just stick with me. And I would venture to guess next week it's probably more than two shows. Seriously. So just stick with us, okay? Thank you. The breeze of the panhandle. Good morning, JC and Stedman. I like Biden's presidency is just a big blooper reel. It really is. One big blooper reel. Aurora, Orange Beach. Hello, Aurora. There's nothing decided in his head. Those decisions are made for him. It could be. And she sent a gif of a picture of Biden saying, "I'm kind of a breakfast taco myself," which is a play on his wife's speech in San Antonio that offended a lot of people. Karen checks in. Hello, Karen. Good morning, friends. No wonder why Jill Biden said breakfast tacos. Exactly. It reminds her of Joe's neighborhood. If you remember correctly, Jill Biden was down in San Antonio a couple months ago and was comparing the people of San Antonio to breakfast tacos, and it didn't go over so well. But now it makes sense to me because Joe Biden grew up basically Puerto Rican, according to his speech yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob's here. Hello, Jacob. Good morning, brother. Hope all is well and that everyone has a blessed Tuesday. You as well, my friend. Ryan, what's up with your schedule? Are you going to be full-time again, Ryan? Thank you for checking in. I address that. Henry. Hello, Henry. Justin, come on, man. Leave Popow alone. He didn't have his afternoon nap. Could be. Shane B. Justin is my father of radio. Hardly present. Oh, Shane.
Man.
Yeah. Well, I'm my father of radio, too, I guess. We're in the same boat, Shane. Trust me. 321-339-1055. All right. So let's talk about the economy for a moment and what's going on. Because a lot of people will come to me and ask, what do you think about this economy? Is it getting better? Do you see signs of improvement? And then we'll have an occasional day. Like the last couple of days, the stock market did pretty well. But for the most part, I see this economy as tanking. I see the economy continuing to tank probably through the end of next year. I really do. I will tell you why. What I'm seeing that makes me very nervous about this economic climate after this very quick break. It's Justin Clark on the Florida Man Radio Network.
You are listening to the Justin Clark Show on Florida Man Radio.
Breaking news, Loretta Lynn has died. Do you know much about Loretta Lynn?
Yeah, I know quite a bit.
Oh,
it sucks.
Yeah, she died. She was 90 years old, though. I don't remember much about Loretta Lynn. Hold on, let's see. He don't love me anymore, and I'll have to. You know, my grandmother dated Freddie Fender. You ever heard of him? He's dead, too, but yeah, there's a picture of my grandmother with Freddie Fender. And I never knew if it was like a real serious relationship or what, but there were pictures of Freddie Fender growing up all around my house. My grandmother was a beautiful lady. You know, my mom's a beautiful lady. I come from a long line of beautiful women, which sucks for me because I'm a dude. You know what I mean? Loretta Lynn dead at 90. Any Loretta Lynn fans out there?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty.
So I guess maybe it's just not my generation, so I never knew much about Loretta Lynn. You know? All right, back to the show. The economy, especially for those of us, well, really all of us, I think everyone is feeling the pinch. Now, this is not an inflation conversation. This is a big picture, broad stroke view of the economic situation in this country right now. And there's this stock guy who is kind of famous and I follow sometimes. And he says that the coming recession could be the biggest recession ever. And they ask him for recommendations. And he said, quote, "I recommend prayer," unquote.
Wow.
He said, "You got to pray because this is going to be the worst recession ever," according to him. His name is Keith McCullough, and he's telling his investors to put it in cash, gold, and other defensive plays, that everything is going to continue to tank. And I don't necessarily disagree with him, and all the signs are there. And we keep feeling like, okay, we're pulling out of this a little bit, but it's not. I think this is a through next year type of issue that we're going to have. I think this one's going to be very, very bad. 2008 bad, maybe worse. I mean, 2008 was, the Great Recession was really a result of the housing bubble and a bunch of fraud on Wall Street. But it really wasn't a Main Street recession. It wasn't. It was a housing crisis. And it was because all these people on Wall Street were selling these junk mortgages to where the housing prices skyrocketed and people who could not afford houses were buying million-dollar houses to flip them. And then we had to pay the piper on that thing at the end of it, and we totally collapsed economically. But again, it was more of a Wall Street collapse, not necessarily a Main Street one. The problem with this recession is it's Wall Street and Main Street. It really is. And I think that we have a coming storm. I don't think the storm has actually hit yet. I don't even think we're in the eye wall of this recession, unfortunately. And, you know, basically, I think recession today is what the transitory inflation was a year ago. And I think the Fed is probably getting it wrong. I think they're overreacting a little bit. And you look at it. The mortgage rates are now close to 7% if you're trying to buy a house. This is pricing people out. This is now creating the housing market to significantly decline very, very quickly. And I don't think I've been this bearish, certainly since 2008. And this guy agrees with me. It is ugly out there. And I don't think we're heading for a soft landing on this. A lot of times the government can do things when we go through a recession to give us a soft landing. But I think this is going to be a very hard landing. You know how when you come in on an airplane and it's a fairly soft landing normally. However, if you go up to quote unquote space and one of these Bezos or Musk deals, the capsule comes down. That's a pretty hard landing. I think this recession is more like the Bezos space capsule coming down with the parachute than it is a 737 landing on the runway. To use an analogy that just came into my head.
Yeah, that was an interesting one.
And again, this one's a lot worse in my opinion than 2008 because 2008. Was about these mortgages and Wall Street really committing a lot of fraud. That's what it was about. Now Main Street is broke. Main Street is broke, and all of this inflation is ultimately going to really hurt Main Street because people aren't going to have enough money to go buy stuff. They're not. Right now, we're still at the end of being able to afford things because we still have credit. But our credit debt, our debt has gone up so much, we have less credit left, that at some point we're going to feel the cost of eggs. We're not going to have any more credit left. We're almost done. And that's when Main Street starts to get really hammered. And lastly, I think that labor collapsing, which is always the last thing to go down, is right now on the cusp of going down. Because when Main Street doesn't have money coming in, Main Street can't pay employees. When Main Street can't pay employees, they fire them. And over the last couple of years, as you know, there have been two jobs for every unemployed person. That is changing now, and I believe it's going to continue to change. Now, that's been going on in radio for years, right, Stedman?
Oh, yeah.
Labor and radio has been a problem for
a
while.
Let me tell you, no.
If you're an employee. But over the last couple of years, labor has been fantastic for employees, rough for employers because labor was costing more, but we're getting close to a point where that tide is turning for sure. And I see this thing. I see a very, very hard landing coming economically. Well, the real estate market is still so good, right, Justin? No, it's not. In fact, home prices in the United States are dropping now at the fastest pace since, tell me if this year sounds familiar, 2009. 2009. So the housing market peaked in 2006. Late 2007, we started to feel a little bit of something going on. 2008 got bad. 2009, absolute plummeted. Just done. All the housing prices went down by at least 50% then. And that's exactly what is happening right now. Mortgage rates up near 7%. They were 2.5% last year. Of course, that's going to have a chilling effect on the housing market. And this is the Fed, in my opinion, overreacting a little bit. Median home prices down 0.9% August month over month. So down 1% in 1 month, following 1.05% drop in July from June. So essentially we're down 2% in 2 months on the housing prices, which is it's a staggering number. You haven't seen it since that collapse in 2009. And it's not just housing, man. It's everything. Everything. It's crazy. So we haven't had housing prices drop like this since the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy in 2008. The Lehman Brothers. You remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You remember the Lehman Brothers collapse?
I do.
And Bear Stearns Fannie collapse.
Mae, Freddie Mac.
And we haven't seen prices go down this sharply since. I think Florida is a little bit more resilient. I don't think we're going to follow the national trends quite as much. But it's going to come here at some point, too, maybe a little bit later. Ask Open Door how it's going for them. You've heard of Open Door?
Oh, yeah.
They're that company that they come in and guarantee a price for your house. They'll buy it cash or whatever. They've lost money now on 42% of its August resales. So they're not going to be buying houses anymore. They're losing money on nearly half of the houses that it buys. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're going to stop buying them, first of all. when it's losing money on 50% of them. You can't run a business that way.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Lost money on 55% of its sales in Los Angeles. 76% of its sales in Phoenix it lost money on. Wow. And that doesn't even include fees charged to customers or the expenses that it incurs in renovating and marketing homes. That's just in what it bought it for versus what it sold it for. So I really think that number is much higher. Probably 65% of the houses, if you really add up all the other expenses, they're losing money on. They said Open Door warned investors that it expected to lose $175 million this year. Wow. I don't think they're going to be in the housing market very long, do you?
No, they're going to be opening doors for another industry.
And it's taking a toll on everyone. It really is. And I do a lot of bankruptcy work at the law firm, as you know, and people judge me for that. They say, well, Justin, you took out a debt, pay your debt. I understand that mentality. I do. But you don't sit in my seat listening to families who literally can't put food on the table because they're paying their debt. Bankruptcy is a constitutional right. File bankruptcy if you want, if it's going to help you. I love seeing the facial expression on my clients when I essentially feel like I saved their financial life. And now this inflation's taking a major toll on families across the country, even people making six figures. More Americans now than ever are living paycheck to paycheck. 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, meaning you have no money in your account until you get paid Thursday at midnight or you get that check on Friday. No money left. That's a scary way to live, guys. And most of us are living that way. That's scary. And we have families. We have kids. We have expenses. We have tires that are going bad, and we're driving down in the rain on bald tires. It's unsafe, but we don't have the $800 to repair the tires. And now we're almost out of credit. This is how an economy collapses. That's where we are right now. That's where we are. And if you want to tell me that it's better to pay the American Express bill versus feeding your family at night, then piss off, because I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to say that. I'm not trying to be crass or rude to you, but I would much rather see people feed little Johnny and Sarah and make sure they have food in the lunchbox than pay their Amex bill. I'm not saying I'm not advising you to not pay it. I'm just telling you, at some point when you live paycheck to paycheck, those decisions have to be made. And I have a lot of sympathy for American families and moms and dads who are working their ass off. And then let's say you make 52 grand a year. Okay, that's $4,000 a month, basically $1,000 a week, $4,000 a month. Right? You got your rent. Like the cheapest rent you could possibly have right now is what, $1,800?
Yeah, that's about right.
That's almost half of it right there. You have health insurance, $1,000. Your taxes come out. There's nothing left. They don't have any money left. And now 60% of us are living this paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. And it's even becoming more prevalent in those of us who are making six figures. If you make over 100 grand, 45% are living paycheck to paycheck. And I see that all the time. People come in my office making 100, 150 grand a year for their family. But once the health insurance comes out and the mortgage and the taxes, it's gone. It's gone. So I have a lot of sympathy for this. And that's kind of why we do what we do. This is not a plug for the firm. It's not. I'm just telling you that I have sympathy for it because I see it all the freaking time. And it's sad. 71% of you say your pay is not keeping up with the cost of living. Even though the pay has gone up a little bit over the last year or two, not with the rise in inflation. Pay has not kept up with inflation, so we're feeling it. We're falling further into debt. We have more debt now than we've ever had, and that's why I do not envision a soft landing from this point forward, which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but I don't see it, and I have to be honest with you. I really, really do. 321-339. 1055. Even the cost of freaking pumpkins.
What?
Even pumpkins are more expensive this year. 15% up from last year.
There's going to be a latte recession?
I guess so.
Even lattes have been hit by the recession.
You know, I'm proud to say I have not had one pumpkin latte yet this season. Have you?
No, heck
good.
No.
Me neither. I do have a couple of pumpkins laying around my house. I got them because my daughter Mila likes to paint them, you know?
Okay. All right, fair enough.
So we've got a bunch of Halloween stuff laying around my little house. By the way, my rent, I think, is $2,400 for like 1,200 square feet. And I think I got a bargain.
Yeah, no, you did.
I think I got a pretty good deal on that. I never thought I'd be a tenant again, but I'm living the tenant lifestyle here for a couple of years.
My mortgage at 1,600 square feet is less than your rent.
I know. And that's because you bought before the rate skyrocketed. Ooh, I mean,
I got lucky.
You got in probably like 3.5%.
I did. I bought about a year ago.
What's your interest rate? 3.5. Let me guess.
3.5, yeah.
I'm exactly right. I'm just going to prove to this audience I know what the hell I'm talking about.
You do.
Last year, pumpkins were $4.92. Now they're $5.68.
All you have to do is go on the cost of a dozen eggs right now to know how ridiculous things are.
So I went to Winn-Dixie on, this would have been Sunday. And I decided I was going to make a nice little like, dinner, like sometime between lunch and dinner type of thing.
Right, a 3 p.m. meal.
And we communicated about it, and she was like, no, just order something. I don't want you to go out of your way for me. I said, no, I want to do something nice today. I'm going to make you a nice little lunch, late lunch, early dinner. And we were watching football, just hanging out. And so I go back and forth for about an hour and a half trying to decide if I want to go to the grocery store and make something or just order. So I birthed an hour and a half that way. Then I'm like, you know what, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a good man. And I go to Winn-Dixie, and they have nothing. They had nothing. They had no meat, no deli meat. They had no vegetables. Like, they were completely out of everything. Is that happening post-Ian? Is that happening in a lot of places?
I'm not 100% sure, but potentially they might have something to do with
it. And they certainly had no pumpkins. I was going to buy another pumpkin, but they had almost nothing. So I ended up going back home and just ordering food. And I guess I didn't do such a good job of the food because she said it was awful.
Were you wearing your apron?
No, man.
You got to put on your good apron.
I would never wear an apron. Look, I don't mind to cook if I get inspired once every couple of weeks on the weekend watching the game or something, but I'm not wearing an apron. I'm not stooping that low. The Florida Man Radio Network audience has already revoked my man card. That's been well documented
apron,
on this
no
program.
Pants.
But, the thing is, if I were to wear an apron, I would admit it. That's part of my problem. You know, I can't zip it. I would come in here and be like, yo, I cooked dinner yesterday and I was wearing an apron. And then I can't help but say it and admit it. So, but at least they know that I would be honest had I been wearing an apron. I don't wear an apron.
Okay.
I don't own an apron. I swear to you, I don't own an apron.
You heard him, Beanbag Nation. Somebody needs an apron.
Let me hit some text messages here. Motor City Mick is here. What up, Mick? Good morning, Justin. Glad to hear you on the airwaves. You've been missed. Thank you, buddy. Franklin the Mailman. I'd still rather listen to anyone else other than you. Thank you, Franklin. I appreciate you. My mother. Hi, Mom. Morning, awesome team. Love you guys. Thanks for making our morning brighter. You got it. 386. Awesome. Great news. Not the same without you. I understand, though, you have multiple jobs. Dave the Drummer. What up, Dave? How are you, bro? Good morning, gang, and rest in peace, Loretta. Saw her and Conway Twitty in concert. Really? Mm. Rich is here. Hello, Rich. Should have kept 45 with the mean tweets. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I don't necessarily want to see Trump or Biden, to be honest with you, next time around. But
yeah, me either. It's time.
That's
to
just
move
my
on.
Feeling. I think it's time to hit the reset button. I really do. Lee is here. Hello, Lee. It's time to make the donuts. Thank you. 762 is here. Check out the Van Leer Rose album by Loretta Lynn and Jack White. Really? Very fine Jack music.
I'll see Salem, if I can find that.
Salem in Georgia. Hello, Salem. How are you? Andrew in Michigan. What's up? Just the apron. Thank you, Andrew. 321, 339, I guess. 1055. I have a little warning for you, and you might have heard this before. But we never had a big hurricane roll through at the same time that used car prices were so freaking expensive. If you think about it, how hard is it to buy a used car right now? They're up like 30%, I think, year over year.
Yes.
It is very, very difficult to purchase a used car right now. A great time to sell one, but then you got to buy one. And it's hard to find any decent deal on a used car. Well, here's what you need to be very careful with. There was a huge hurricane that rolled through Florida and then, South Carolina as well. And how many cars do you think were flooded? I mean, countless cars. Probably a million cars have been flooded at this point. I was driving around Sanford, Florida yesterday, around this big lake. I forgot what it's called. I think Lake Monroe or something. I think it's where all the alligators hang out.
Yes.
It's just totally flooded. Like the roads flooded still. There are a lot of floods. And I looked through these apartment communities along the lake, and there are just cars still sitting there in the water. There are going to be so many used cars for sale that have been flooded. We have a lot of car dealer friends, okay? But let me be clear. Some car dealers, especially these like little mom and pop used car shops, are not exactly the most ethical businesses, unfortunately. I think we all know that. I have some tips for you on what to look for when you go buy a used car right now, because there are going to be so many of these flooded cars that are put back on the market, and they're going to forget to mention they've been flooded. I'll tell you how to avoid that also. This Bros movie, I don't know, haven't seen it. Haven't seen any movie in the theater. I'm not seeing it because I'm homophobic, which is what one of the stars said about everyone who has not seen the movie Bros. All of that and much more. Quick break. It's Justin Clark on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Now, back to the Justin Clark Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hour number two for a Tuesday morning has arrived. Stedman, present. Beanbag Nation along for the ride. Join us, if you wish, live in the studio, 321-339-1055. I've never seen used car prices be so high. They're very expensive. If you have tried to buy a used car here recently, they're crazy expensive. I think they're up 30% or something over the last year. But now what you're going to have, and you know this is going to happen, and it's going to start happening soon, with this big-ass hurricane that rolled through here recently, so many cars were flooded. I've literally driven around and seen flooding in apartment complexes, especially with cars just sitting there. And as you can imagine, flooding a car is probably not good for its future performance. It's not good at all. Well, you're going to start seeing these come on the market very, very soon. Scammers are everywhere, and they're going to absolutely pounce on this because used car prices are so expensive. I mean, they would do this even if the prices were not so expensive, but now I think it's going to be especially bad. And they're going to try to resell them to you as fine. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. But they have released now some things to look at. Oh, yeah, by the way, used car vehicles up 40% since 2019. That's a big number. That's a big jump when it comes to prices of used cars, for sure. So you need to be on the lookout for any flood damage when you shop for used cars. Ideally, you probably should take it to a mechanic before you actually buy it. Take it to a mechanic and say, yo, do you think this car's been flooded or not? I think it's worth it before you spend 30 grand or whatever it's going to be on a used car. Take it to someone you know, or if you don't have a mechanic friend, take it to a mechanic and give them a couple $100 and they'll tell you, especially right now, because you know these scammer used car dealers are going to be putting these on the market, and they're not going to tell you they've been flooded. But here's what to look for when you go buy a used car right now to make sure that it has not been flooded. They say on the carpeting of the floor of the car, you can normally tell if it's been flooded. So pay special attention to the carpeting, the upholstery, or even the seat belts. They say the seat belts are very hard to remove the flooding from. So look for those things. Other red flags, rusty screws or other metal parts, any sort of mud on the bottom or signs of mud or dirt in the engine department or under the dashboard. Or if there's any weird thing going on with the electrical equipment in the car, you can pretty much assume that it might have been flooded for sure. They've also released this that you can enter your VIN number or the VIN number of the car you're thinking about buying into the VIN check database. It's the NICB VIN check database. And then you can tell whether a car was declared as a salvage or total loss from flooding, although that's not 100% because if they didn't file an insurance claim, it's not going to show up in that database. So really, I think right now, more than ever, if you're buying a used car, you need to take it to your mechanic and say, Mr. Mechanic, has this, or Mrs. Mechanic, has this car been flooded? I think you're going to see a record number of flooded cars out on the market right now because of the prices and because of the big-ass storm that came through than ever before. Ever. That's the way I see it. So be very careful if you're buying a used car right now. Has anyone seen the movie Bros yet?
I haven't.
I guess it was a big flop. And now the star of the movie, Billy Eichner, is very mad at homophobic people. He's blaming it on the homophobes out there. So let me be clear. I don't believe that I'm homophobic in any way. I don't. I also can definitively tell you I have not seen any movie that's in the theater right now, including Bros. I'm not afraid to go see Bros. I don't go to the theater that much, number one. Well, it launched to just $4.8 million over the weekend, and now Billy Eichner is pissed off. And, of course, he goes to Twitter to voice his displeasure. Here's what he said. He's very mad at you straight people. He really, really is. Everyone who isn't a homophobic weirdo should go see Bros tonight. You will have a blast. And it is a special and uniquely powerful to see this story on a big screen, especially for queer folks who don't get this opportunity often. I love this movie so much. Go Bros. So he is saying that I think homophobic weirdos are preventing this thing from making any money.
Kind of sounds that way.
They were expecting, I think, $10 million. Oh, hold on. They were expecting it to make $8 to $10 million, and it only made $4 million. So now he's pissed and blaming it on that. And maybe the movie's good. Maybe it sucks. I have no idea. Maybe I'll see it someday. I just don't know. I can't predict it. You could go through a list of every movie in the theater right now, and I'll tell you, I'm not sure if I'll ever see it or not.
It takes a lot to get me to go to a movie theater these days. Top Gun Maverick was the last one I saw.
Yeah, I did too, and I even fell asleep during that one. If you can fall asleep during Top Gun, you know you're tired.
Oh, it does kind of vibrate you to sleep.
That's right, exactly. However, I thought maybe the movie just sucked, but I went to Rotten Tomatoes, and it has a 95% critic score.
Oh, no, Maverick was awesome.
Not Maverick, Bros.
Oh, Bros.
I don't know what Maverick had. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, and they also gave it an A cinema score, so it gets good reviews, I guess. Rolling Stone has Bros on the list of the best comedies of the 21st century already.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. Like,
stop
it,
Rolling Stone.
I just don't know why he's got to go around calling everyone who hasn't seen it a homophobic weirdo. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Maybe we just don't like to go to the theater.
I'll watch it on HBO Max, okay, Billy?
Or maybe we don't have $150 to take the family to the cinema the popcorn and everything.
They're going
to
start charging for parking soon.
What does it cost to get in a movie anymore? $20? $18?
I would say about 15 is
15 per, a ticket.
Per, yeah.
And then if you don't sneak in the candy in your wife's purse or whatever, it's right. Another $50 to buy snacks probably.
Exactly. Day-old popcorn.
It's harder to go to the theater than like a baseball game at this point. Jesus.
Neither one are worth it.
Bros is doing very well in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. I guess it makes sense, but I don't know. I don't think he needs to come out bashing people who haven't seen it as homophobic weirdos.
We're busy, dude. I think we're in a recession.
It's going a little bit too far. I did see Elvis, though. I sure did.
Elvis is good.
Shane Bee is our official movie correspondent. Let's see what he thinks about it. Let's see here. Shane Bee is here. Bros was an amazing experience in cinema. Truly a masterful work of art. 5 stars. See? Okay. Shane Bee is straight.
Okay. All right, Shane.
Atta boy, Shane. So he's not a homophobic weirdo, according to the star of Bros, who I've never heard of. I don't like being told I'm a homophobic weirdo, though, because I don't think I am. Maybe a little weird. I don't know.
But not homophobic.
Austin is here in Tampa. What up, Austin? Mold and water damage experts is my business. If you have water damage, I'd be happy to help. Thank you, buddy. Rich B. We could always go back to the Bush family, Jenna Bush, 2024. I don't know. Maybe it's time for just new blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, DeSantis did not do any damage to his campaign in his response to Ian. I think he did a very nice job, no?
I do too.
He seems very confident. Not like super over cocky, but certainly confident and kept everyone informed. I think he did a very nice job with his press conferences throughout Hurricane Ian. I do anyway. I'm not trying to even choose sides here. I'm just telling you from my perspective, he did a good job. I think Rich B is here. Hello, Rich. I already read that. Sorry. The breeze of the panhandle. My dad used to have a joke apron that had a rag on the waistline. And if you lifted the rag, there was a sausage underneath it.
Surprise. That's what you need, my friend.
I like it. I like it. Rich said, I agree. No Trump, DeSantis for president. I'm down with that. Shane in New Mexico, question. Bought a piece of land expecting to build a house on it. Well, with interest rates now, that went in the crapper. Should I pay off the dirt with a home equity line or turn the land note into a conventional 10 to 15 year loan? damn, Shane, you got, you know, I don't want to have my lawyer hat on for a second. Now I got a lawyer up. Let me think about this. All right, so he bought a piece of land. Okay, a lot of people do that, and they're going to build on it. But now with interest rates up so much, Stedman, they can't afford the house they wanted to build, so now they're stuck with a piece of dirt. Should I pay off the dirt with a home equity line or turn the land note into a conventional 10 to 15 year loan? I don't know. Can you sell the land, Shane?
I would say the second option only because you know it's going to come back around. So if you can afford to hold on to it, right? Wouldn't you hold on to it?
So should you pay off the dirt with a home equity line? So what do you owe on it now? Like, what's the interest rate now? I think that's what I need to know. Big John is here. Glad to hear you, JC. Thank you. Franklin the mailman, bitch. That's not what I said, you jackass. Thank you.
Franklin.
Rich is here. Am I homophobic also? I'm part of the never heard of it crowd, at least before you just brought it up. I don't think that, no, you're not homophobic because you've never heard of it or because you've never seen it. I mean, come on. Look, we've already tested out this theory probably a decade ago in Brokeback Mountain, right, Stedman? It's the same concept.
Hey, why are you asking me?
Well, how many times have you seen Brokeback Mountain?
Actually, I've seen it once.
Once? I think I saw it. I'm pretty sure I did see Brokeback Mountain at some point. We've already tested this, okay, it's a movie about like gay people theory with Brokeback Mountain. A lot of straight people saw Brokeback Mountain. Then there was Magic Mike. Is that what it was called?
No, is it wrong? No. I want to go back to Brokeback because it's wrong. I only watched it for Anne Hathaway's topless scene.
Oh, I don't remember that.
How could you forget that?
Okay. So I see. So Brokeback Mountain hedged its bet, is what you're telling me. So they're like, look, we need to put Anne Hathaway in here with boobs out to get the straight dudes there. Is that what you're saying they did?
Yeah, who let the boobs out?
That's pretty good marketing.
And then
and then there was Magic Mike, which I will be honest with you, I have not seen. Wasn't that about, like, male strippers or something?
Yeah, but I don't think they were gay.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I don't know. Well, you know what? I'll either see it or not see it. I don't know. But I'm not going to not see it because I'm a homophobic weirdo. I don't go to the theater that much.
I only go to theaters to see big productions like Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Or Star Wars or something like that.
A type of movie that is different in the theater because of the action and the sound.
Correct.
And, I understand. Makes perfect sense. 321-339. 1055. I do not do National Whatever Day. I don't. But it is National Taco Day, and I do love tacos. Don't you?
I mean,
who doesn't love a great taco? Taco. Oh, my God. I could eat a taco every day. I think I have issues. I really do.
I could eat a taco right now.
My favorite taco at this point in my life is a place in Buffalo, New York called That Taco Place. It's a little teeny taco stand, but my God, it's good. If you ever get to Buffalo, call me, and I'll hook you up with That Taco Place. It's stupid. But the reason I'm addressing this is because today is National Taco Day, but it also falls on a lot of people say Taco Tuesday. You know, they make tacos for the family on Tuesday night. And so it's a especially big one this year because it falls on Taco Tuesday as well. Do you have a favorite taco place? Let me just be straight up with you. And if it's Taco Bell, it's Taco Bell. You can be honest with me. Do you have a favorite taco?
Yes.
Okay, fire.
El Potro.
El Potro. Now, that would
love
be, that's a,
El Potro.
I believe that to be a local Orlando chain, though.
It's
not like a big chain, right?
No. Big chain Fuzzy Tacos is very
Fuzzy's.
Good.
And by the way, Fuzzy's has a deal for you today. There's a Fuzzy's right down the street from the radio station, which I go to about once every, I'd say, 3 weeks or so. I don't get out for lunch too much, but if I do, Fuzzy's is on my list of things to do. And they're serving tacos today for $1.50 at Ooh. Fuzzy's.
Well, then they've got a customer in me.
7-Eleven has a deal for Taco Tuesday, though. I don't know about this. You get 10 mini tacos for $2. I mean, when I think Taco Tuesday or National Taco Day, I don't automatically go to 7-Eleven. Do you?
No, and I don't want to besmirch 7-Eleven, but I don't want to spend a day in a toilet.
Moe's. Members get $5 off any meal kit. I'm tired of these membership things. I just want to go shop. You know, Walgreens, CVS, fine. A grocery store here or there, fine. But I don't want every place I shop in my life to have a membership to or an app to. I'm sick of it.
But
I don't want to be a member.
That's how they do it.
I don't need to be a member of all these things. I
but
just look. I just want a taco.
You want deals.
I don't want to be a member. I want to come to your establishment and get a taco every now and again. I don't need to be a member. I don't want to have your app. Walgreens, I get. I don't know why I get it. Maybe because it was the first one that really went hardcore on this whole put a little thing on your keychain. Thank God we went to just phone numbers. You don't have to carry around all these little things in your keychain anymore. Used to, you'd have to swipe the little thing on the keychain at Walgreens.
That was a pain in the ass.
Nightmare. Now at least we can just enter the phone number. I'm also a member of 7-Eleven. You just enter your phone number there, and you get like a free coffee every now and again. Yeah. And I think I get 3 cents off gas at 7-Eleven. But I'm not gonna. I'm likely not gonna go test out the Taco Tuesday promotion at 7-Eleven. I can tell you that much.
No, is that meat?
Maybe at one point. I don't know. Chewy's has a deal going on. I think I've been to Chewy's. I think I've been to a Chewy's before. I think it's like a big chain, right?
Yeah.
Chewy's.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever been to that.
Let's see. Chronic Tacos. I've never heard of you. Taco Ooh. Bell is bringing back the Taco Lovers Pass for one day only. Okay. See, I don't want your passes. I don't want your memberships. I don't want any of that. On the Border has some deals. Jack in the Box. I thought Jack in the Box was a burger joint.
Apparently they branched.
Del Taco's having some deals. So anyway, enjoy your National Taco Day, which falls on Taco Tuesday. I'm a big advocate of not doing what everyone else does. So I'm not probably not going to have a taco on Taco Tuesday or National Taco Day just because it seems like a nightmare. Everyone's going to be doing it. You know what I mean? It's the old, like, I'm not going to a Mexican joint on Cinco de Mayo or on St. Patty's Day. I'm likely not going to an Irish bar. I like to do the opposite.
So you're that guy.
Yes, I'm that guy. I'll do the opposite. However, last Cinco de Mayo, when little Sean was here, he convinced us to go have tacos with him on Cinco de Mayo because his buddy owns a Mexican restaurant. So we actually did go. And I think we got a little bit of special service or something. So that's why I agreed to do it. Like, we had a seat reserved for us. It was pretty fun, actually. But I'm not going to get in the habit of celebrating these pain-in-the-ass holidays when everyone else is, too. It's a nightmare, if you want to ask me. That's the way I see it.
I don't know. I'm hungry as hell right now. That's all I know.
321-339-1055.
And I blame you.
615 is here. That's a Tennessee number, although it's Ken at Emerald Coast Realty. Okay. All right. We have a real estate agent here chiming in on, I believe it was, Shane in New Mexico's question. Love the show. Listen every day. Advice to your Arizona caller about building on his property during high interest rates. Go ahead and build with an adjustable 5-year term mortgage and refi when rates go back down. I don't think that's bad advice either. It's just a matter of whether he can qualify right now or not, because obviously as the rates go up, you're going to be able to qualify for a lower payment. So maybe he's not able to qualify at the moment based on the higher mortgage payment. But I like that advice. I have no problem with the 5-year adjustable, because I don't think the rates are going to go to 15, 16 like they did in the past. I really don't. I think they might go above 7, but I don't think they're going to let them go to 15. I really don't. Rich is here. I bet Lurch is going to hit up Taco Bell for Taco Tuesday and 7-Eleven. I have no doubt, Rich. I think you're very much on to something. Another Lee is here. If you're eating 7-Eleven tacos, things aren't going that well. Have you ever seen the crap they sell? Big John is here.
I hope they're not a sponsor.
I wish gay people would stop shoving it down my throat, but Franklin, Rusty Freeport.
Oh, boy, I can't believe you read that.
Good way to get me to see a movie. Call me names. Exactly, Rusty. I'm with you. Don't start calling me names. And Ken from Emerald Coast Realty said that the adjustable rate mortgages are only at 4.5%. It's a good point. I don't have an issue with the adjustable rate mortgage right now. I really don't. As long as you get 5 years, I'm good with it. And you can keep your rate down to 4.5%. Agreed. Got a guy in, this is in Michigan, actually. He went to Oktoberfest the other day. Got hammered, wasted at Oktoberfest. And there was a cop there who was kind of overseeing things, who was nice enough to give him a ride home. He's like, look, sir, you're drunk. Let me get you home. How often do you hear a cop do that?
Not very often.
The problem is, after he dropped him off at home, the guy in Michigan decided to go back out and get a DUI. I'll tell you about that and plenty more. One last quick break. It's Justin Clark on the Florida Man Radio Network.
Now, back to the Justin Clark Show on Florida Man Radio.
Is this Loretta Lynn?
Jack White. Yeah, this is off the Van Leer Rose album. It's called Portland, Oregon. It's the name of the song.
Loretta Lynn, dead at age 90. Rest in peace to her. Sure, she laid down some great music over the years.
She did. I can't believe, especially being a Tennessean.
I've heard of her. I just don't know much about her.
Bet your mama does.
I bet my mom does. You're probably right. We'll ask
her on Thursday.
She
probably watched Coal Miner's Daughter as much as I did.
Oh, you're probably right. Well, it is October, meaning Oktoberfest. Runs all month long. Great month to drink some beer, I guess, and have an excuse to overdrink beer. And it happened in Michigan as well, where a man in Michigan got drunk at an Oktoberfest event, but there were cops there. You know how they hire, you know, police officers as security, basically off duty,
right?
But they're still wearing their own duty things and have their the cruisers with them. Well, one of the cops at this place was working security and was nice enough to offer the drunk dude a ride home. You don't hear too much about this anymore. Maybe in small rural communities they still do this, but you don't hear, probably liability-wise, where cops are saying, oh, we'll give the drunk guy a ride home very often. You just don't. Really nice of this officer. Unfortunately, the guy got home, the drunk guy, said, thank you, officer, went in his house, and presumably there were probably still some chicks at the bar or something, you know?
Of course.
And he was like, I'll be right back. I'm going to get a ride home with this guy. And he decides he wants to go back out. And let me tell you something from experience. If you've been at a bar and you get home, let's say 10, 11, midnight, and you get home and you're like, you know what? I was having fun. I want to go back out. And you're having that debate in your head, stay home or go back out. It is always better to stay home. You will be so much more happy with yourself in the morning.
I'm back, ladies.
If you stay home. Well, he decides to go back out 90 minutes later, and he's arrested for DUI.
Hope it was worth it there, buddy.
You know this is a girl thing. You know he started thinking about the girl at the end of the bar at the Oktoberfest event. He's like, I'm going to go back out. I'm going to score her.
Yeah,
for
sure.
She's
a real looker, too.
Yeah,
hey, sweetheart, I'll be waiting right here for you.
A different cop saw a vehicle moving slowly, and they pulled the driver over when the vehicle attempted a right turn but drove up on a curb instead.
Oof, hate that.
They did field sobriety test and a breathalyzer test and arrested the man for DUI, two rides in a cop car, same night. Although, let me tell you, if you're drunk and an officer gives you a ride home to be nice to you, you need to stay in. You really, that's normally a sign of not needing to go back out to the bar. Stay home. You will be very happy with yourself the next morning.
She is so pretty, and I was so drunk.
I mean, we've all been through that decision-making process.
Of course.
Do I stay home, or do I go back out? Normally, the answer is always stay home. It just, you know, sometimes in that position, after a long day at Oktoberfest, you're not making the greatest decisions. No. You're just not. In fact, you have to make 122 decisions every day on average. 122. Some of them are difficult. Some of them shouldn't be so difficult. The one about do I go back out at midnight or stay home drunk? Stay home. Shouldn't be that difficult. But I think when you're drunk, you don't think with certain parts of your brain, I've heard. I think you think with the back instead of the front or one of the two. And that's why you make dumb decisions when drunk.
Well, you make emotional decisions.
Yeah. And so allegedly you make one decision every 8 minutes. Hmm. The average person. One decision every 8 minutes. And you go back and forth or change your mind twice per decision every day. So out of 122 decisions, you waffle or change your mind twice per decision.
And usually it ends with, screw it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Let's just go for it. Let's jump in the deep end here.
Where are you?
The most difficult decision every day that you have to make, I have the top 10 for you. Number one is what to watch on TV. You really struggle with what to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have so many options. Like, I can't even decide what app to use, let alone what to watch. Do I want Netflix? Do I want YouTube TV? How about Hulu? I mean, it's hard enough to decide which app to use.
Which app is Dahmer on again?
That's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I've been watching some Dahmer.
That's my go-to.
You've been watching Dahmer?
Oh, I love it. Oh, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's just well done.
Yeah. I've been watching I guess a lot of people have been. I've been reading a lot about Dahmer stuff. And
My 18-year-old is watching it, and she wasn't alive during this.
Really?
So she goes, "Is this how it happened?" I said, "I guess so. I was alive for it." But
I'm on episode 5 or 6, I believe, at this point.
I'm on number 8 right now.
What? All right. So what is the rule? Like, if you have a wife or girlfriend, and and you're kind of watching a series together, but the other one goes to sleep, do you have to stop it at that point, or do you keep going?
You're supposed to, but if you do continue to go on, just make sure she doesn't know.
Oh, and then you just pretend like, oh, I haven't seen that the next night? I see.
Exactly.
I didn't know if there was
See that coming. I totally saw that coming.
I don't know if there was a rule on that. Sounds like there is. Yeah, now I know. Second most difficult decision is what to eat for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Number three, what to wear. Four, whether to buy something or not, whether to work out or not, what time to go to bed. Should you have one more of something like a cookie or a beer, whether or not to ask someone out, meal planning for the week, whether you should go out with friends or just stay in. And again, I've given you the rule on once you've been at the bar and you get home, but you're thinking you've got the itch to get back out, stay home. That's the rule. That should be a ironclad rule in your life.
I don't care how pretty you thought she was.
Another decision a lot of people have had to make around here lately is how do you get rid of bears? We have a lot of bears that have come out recently. Mm-hmm. I guess because of the storm, they've been displaced and all the flooding. I really don't know, but I've seen so many pictures of friends of mine with bears in their yard or driveway just hanging. Well, now this dude slapped, and it's all on his Ring doorbell type camera. He slapped a bear to protect his dogs and girlfriend and didn't die. He didn't really even get attacked. This audio and video is pretty incredible, actually. I mean, what would you do if you have a bear coming at you? I don't know. I don't know the right move. I heard you got to stand there and act strong.
You'd have to make a decision. I'd pee myself and then
cry. Yes, exactly. Well, this guy slapped the bear directly in the face and it worked. And it was all caught on security cam. Here, you can actually hear it, too. Listen to what he did. So he's in the back of his house. It looks like a garden area, like a big garden area, I guess. And he has his dog and his girlfriend with him. And here's the bear approaching. Oh, he slaps him right in the face.
Let him take him.
He looks angry too.
I bet he's drunk.
He looks angry at the bear. You think he was drunk?
I would have to be to have that much liquid courage.
You get back, you furry bash.
He had his drunk goggles on, and that's why he had the balls to slap the bear in the face.
Is that girl from the bar? Oh, wait, that's a bar.
I mean, it was kind of a smallish bear. Well, I don't want you to think that it was a 400 pounder. It was sort of a baby or juvenile bear, I would say.
Oh, baby bear.
You think it was a baby one?
Well, hopefully it didn't anger the mama.
The mamas get pissed off if you mess with the babies, that's for sure. Uh-huh. That is for sure. Sean is here in Jacksonville. Hello, Sean. Last time a police officer let me off for DUI, he said, "Don't let me catch you out again or you will get arrested." I parked the car and didn't go back out. Luckily, I was a block away from my house. Oh, so he actually got pulled over drunk, and the officer said, "All right, I'm going to let you go." You don't hear that very often either.
No.
You really don't hear that one often.
I don't think their lieutenants want to hear that either.
No, probably not. Carrie's here on 38. Loretta Lynn, little sister, is Crystal Gayle, FYI.
Correct.
Who's Crystal Gayle? I don't know who that is either.
She had some fame in the 80s. She did a song with Eddie Rabbit, Just You and I, was a big hit back in the day.
I see. Franklin checked in again. Good news. She's been here since Friday. It's a picture of him and his beautiful daughter. That's awesome. I'm glad you're getting to spend some time together, Franklin. That means a lot. Oh, let's see. Shane B is here. Bros didn't make money because it wasn't advertised. Who really saw a trailer for it? No one has heard of it. That's a good point. I mean, the only reason I've heard of it is because the actor is coming out calling people homophobic weirdos. So maybe that's going to be good promotion for it. I mean, maybe that was a whole strategy. I don't know. I don't think so.
I think the producers were the ones that made Bridesmaids, so it's probably pretty funny.
I heard it was Judd Apatow, who's a famous...
Oh, it's Apatow. Okay.
He's a famous comedy writer, isn't he? Maybe the most famous out there. I don't know if...
Yeah, he did 40-Year-Old Virgin. Yeah, he did movies like that.
I don't think that...
Anchorman.
I don't think his movies are for everyone, but I think he's made a lot of good ones, too. Chubbs and Soto. I've been pulled over 2 times, absolutely wasted. Both times the officers let me go, just followed me home. Really?
Damn.
What? Where do you people live? Because I want to live there.
Yeah, me too.
What? I just don't think in a bigger type city that happens. Do you?
You ain't that drunk. You can make it home. I'll follow you.
Maybe in rural Montana.
What's that swerve?
But I don't think that in a big city that happens. I think they love pulling people over. Maybe if you catch them on the very end of the shift or something, when they don't feel like doing the paperwork, you know. I could see that. Like, hey, I'm getting off at 7 a.m., been working all night. It's 6:50, pulled someone over. I'd try to get him home, too, probably. Mm-hmm. I think so. Chubb said that was in Conway and Tallahassee. So Tallahassee is, like, you know, a decent-sized city.
Yeah. It's college
not,
town, too.
That's not right. Yeah, you would think they'd take you right to jail. Don't you think? In Tallahassee?
Yeah, they're feasting on those college kids come drunk out of the bars.
I imagine they're constantly looking for drunk drivers, being Florida State is there. All these college kids getting hammered and driving around. Oh, no. All right, good to see you. Hey, Stedman, excellent work today, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
More info about you can be found exactly where?
You can go to Twitter. And catch me, Stead, FLA man, at Twitter.
I am at ATTY Justin Clark on Instagram. Follow me there right now. ATTY Justin Clark on Twitter as well. Thank you for joining me today. I love you. I really, really do. Love spending my mornings here with you. Do me a favor, though. Would you tell your friends, download the Florida Man radio app. There's no other station like this one on the planet currently, I assure you. They'll be forever grateful to you. One last favor. Could you stick around? Because Bill O'Reilly is coming up next, followed by Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins throughout the Emerald Coast. Dan Bongino down in Central Florida. Shando takes over after the boys nationwide. He is the anchor tenant around here. No police officer in their right mind would ever give this man a ticket. They would let him off the hook. They would follow him home because he is the Shannon Burke. EZ will join him as always. Jesse Kelly rounds out the evening this evening. The party starts again tomorrow morning. With the big man himself, Bubba the Love Sponge. Stedman, I don't know much, but I do know one little teeny tiny thing.
And what would that be,
I'll see
Jason?
You right back here again Thursday morning on the Florida Man Radio Network.